Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and it's time for Market View. We're halfway through the year, and what a year it's been so far. COVID-19 has shaken global markets and economies around the globe. The IMF has announced that COVID-19 or the Great COVID-19 lockdown recession could drag global GDP down by 3% in 2020. But with new market and new economic cycles on the cards, what does this mean for investors? Should they have a new approach to investing? Well, we're joined by Kelvin Tay, Regional Chief Investment Officer at UBS Global Wealth Management. Kelvin, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
You keeping safe and well?
I hope so. Yeah, I've not been going out a lot. We've been working from home for the last about 3 months, I think.
Here in Singapore, we entered phase two post-circuit breaker on Friday. And, economies around the globe have also started to ease their lockdown measures. I did a quick drive down Orchard Road on Sunday, and I have to say the crossing, that busy crossing near the Heerin and around Zara, it was packed, and it looks like people are back spending again, though I'm sure cautiously. How does this translate? Is this reflected in what you're seeing in the market? Are people also feeling a little bit more confident now that we're starting to see lockdowns ease?
Well, I think what we're getting right now in Singapore is basically the snapback in demand and consumption that usually happens when we've been in a lockdown situation for like 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. And that was what we actually saw in the US, in Europe, and in China as well. The bigger question is whether this consumption is likely to be able to be sustained over a longer term period. Mm. And that's where the challenge is, because I think even with the, I would think that after a couple of weeks, when people have already gotten over the initial euphoria of being able to shop and eat outside, perhaps there will be a reassessment of the entire situation, in the sense that I think some of them will start to actually look at the situation and say, hey, you know, with the economy still uncertain and we're going through a 7.5% contraction this year, we might actually need to save a little bit more just in case, you know, the situation gets even worse from here. So I think the bigger question is whether this is actually sustainable on a longer term period.
How concerned are you about a second wave? Because we have seen, you know, those new numbers that started to come out of Beijing last week, and we've had a little bit more news of that over the weekend. The numbers out of the US over the weekend haven't been great as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think for sure we're going to see a second wave of infections. I don't think there's a question already. I think it's a matter of when, not a question of if. And the good news is that I think countries are able to actually control it better. They are able to deal with it better, given the fact that, you know, they are not really caught by surprise this time around, and they have actually had some experience and have also had some time to actually prepare for that as well, given the PPE equipment, the testing, the treatments, et cetera, et cetera. With each passing day, we are also closer to a day where we get a more effective treatment drug and also eventually the holy grail of a vaccine coming through. So I don't think the second wave of infections will hurt economies as bad as it did initially in February and March. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it is bad for sentiment. It is negative for consumption. It will, to a certain extent, result in certain areas or cities being locked down to a certain extent. Not to the extent that we've been through in March, but to the extent that it will not be the same as what we had before.
Kelvin, you know, we're halfway through the year now. How are you adjusting your outlook given everything that's happened and the potential of a second wave?
Well, we remain sanguine that the economies will not see a very, very deep contraction like what we saw during the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. We do believe that, yes, we will have a very intense contraction in the second quarter of this year, but we are likely to see a gradual recovery from the third quarter. But of course, this is not anywhere near a V-shaped recovery where the economy is concerned. The markets are slightly different, and we can talk about that a little bit later on. Mm-hmm. But where the economy is concerned, there's more like a longer-term U-shaped recovery. And it only can take place when a vaccine is found and bigger proportions of the population is actually inoculated against this virus itself. So that will take quite some time. And I think that will probably stretch through the whole of 2021 as well. In terms of the portfolio exposure here, we do think that credit or fixed income is actually more appropriate. And we do like quite a fair bit of the fixed income space, given the fact that the Federal Reserve in the US is basically backstopping the credit space. And therefore, that part of the market, that asset class itself, is likely to remain more resilient and post better returns. We've recently upgraded our equity outlook to overweight as well, to favor global equities as well, because we do believe that in time to come, the value and cyclical stocks are likely to actually start to recover alongside what has been a very strong run for the technology sector on a year-to-date basis.
Which other sectors are you looking at? You mentioned technology, but you mentioned vaccines as well. Are you looking at healthcare? Maybe you can share a little bit
with us. Well, the sectors that have actually run quite nicely is basically the technology sector, healthcare, for very obvious reasons. Technology, because our reliance on technology is actually a lot higher now, given the fact that we are all working remotely from the office. And then healthcare for obvious reasons as well, because, the reliance on healthcare, medical devices, medical equipment is a lot higher now, given the fact that the proportion of people going into the hospitals is actually higher than before. So those two sectors actually make a lot of sense. On a longer term basis, we do think that the value sector, which is now trading at very, very attractive valuations compared to tech, will suddenly recover. And therefore, we do think that taking a position in that on a longer term basis makes a lot of sense.
Last time we spoke, you mentioned you saw a lot of potential within regional emerging markets. Is that still the case?
So we do we do believe that the emerging markets and Asia in particular looks very attractive. One, because the valuations are attractive, and two, because we do expect a debasement of the US dollar to happen over the next 12 months, given the fact that the Federal Reserve's balance sheet is going to hit about $8.5 trillion by the end of this year, and also on top of that, they have actually launched a $2.5 trillion program to actually help the small and medium sized enterprises in the US. So when you put that together, such a huge expansion in the balance sheet, it's likely to actually affect the dollar in the future. And we do expect the dollar to actually become weaker versus the euro and a lot of the emerging market currencies. And a weaker dollar has always been very positive for emerging market assets, in particular Asian assets as well. If you track the inverse correlation between the dollar index and the Asian equities or the Asian high yield index.
Since we're at the start of the week, what are you keeping an eye out for this week?
I think the volatility in the markets will remain high. We don't expect a sell-off of the kind of magnitude that we saw in March, where you had five circuit breakers in 8 days in the US. But we do expect volatility to remain high because the market is still pretty fragile. The sentiment is still quite uncertain with regards to the second wave of infections. And don't forget that this year, we also have the US elections in play as well. And of course, with the US elections, you get a lot more rhetoric, you get a lot more saber rattling coming in from the US. And that may not necessarily be a positive for sentiment or for the investment market on a short-term basis. So those are the factors that we are looking out for. And the second half of this year is likely to look really interesting with that in mind.
Great. Well, we've been speaking to Kelvin Tay, Regional Chief Investment Officer at UBS Global Wealth Management. Thank you, Kelvin.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.